Okay, so she's actually napping, and she's not, this isn't at night, she's not sleeping.
We'll see how this goes, see how long it lasts.
So welcome to episode 2 of While She's Napping, While She's Actually Napping. I'm Adam.
I'm Cindy.
And first of all, we want to thank you for downloading and listening to last week's episode regarding social media and how we sort of navigate that as parents. I love seltzer water. seriously, we should buy stock in Bubbly.
Yeah.
Or Bubbly should sponsor us.
Bubbly?
Bublé? Bubbly?
I think that's one of their advertising campaigns is with Michael Bublé.
Like, so is it Bublé?
No, I don't know. I think it's Bubbly, but that's the joke.
I like the tabs. It has nice little messages, kind of like Halls. So thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening. If you haven't already, please subscribe. We appreciate that. We appreciate the support. Last week, we asked for your kindness in giving us 5 stars and a quick review on Apple Podcasts, and we see that that happened. So keep the train going. We appreciate it. I want to say, I told you not to look at the numbers or the ratings, but I cheated and I did. Out of 200 last week, I think our peak was 150 out of 200 on the iTunes society relationships.
Yeah, what category are we even in?
So culture and relationships.
That's so broad.
Society and culture, I think it is. Anyway, we were 150 out of 200. Not the greatest, but for the startup podcast, it's pretty good. So keep the train rolling. If you haven't already, please subscribe. We appreciate the support and leave us a review. Leave us 5 stars and a quick review on Apple Podcasts. We appreciate it. So touching back on last week, a lot of people want to know how they can get in touch with us. You said that you had some people that wanted to ask questions or whatnot.
Yeah, I had some feedback or comments on the specific topic we were talking about, and that's exactly what we want to hear. But like us, not everyone that we know is super savvy with social media, as we covered on last week's episode, and not everybody has every social media platform. So we do have our Twitter at She's Napping Pod, but we also do have a Gmail address that both of us have access to and can see messages there. So that's whileshesnapping@gmail.com. We don't have a Facebook or an Instagram, but
never.
I don't know if that's gonna happen. So you can get us, you can contact us on our email as well as our Twitter handle.
Yeah, everyone has email. I think when you subscribe to the internet for the first time, like any service you have to automatically get an email. No matter what your provider is, you have an email.
Right.
So everybody has an email. So if you have a question, comment, or anything regarding the show, if you just want to shoot the shit with us individually or as a group, you're more than welcome to do so. We both have access to the Gmail. So hit us up on Gmail, whileshesnapping@gmail.com. And on Twitter, that's mostly where I'm navigating things. So you can, as Cindy said, hit us up at She's Napping Pod on Twitter. So today we are going to talk about gender roles within the family, how we navigate it, how we maybe intuitively bought into it, or maybe accidentally bought into it, or maybe not after further investigation. So just for a broad sense, when we talk about traditional gender roles, I feel like it's this antiquated, old school, sort of out of touch view on the man is the sole provider of the household and the woman is the one that has to cook, clean, and care for the children. Now, before I go any further, I'd be remiss if I didn't say that Cindy and I are 2 full-time working parents, and we are obviously a heterosexual male-female married couple. So that's in and of itself pretty quote-unquote traditional, but for the sake of this conversation, in terms of maybe those of a different sexual preference, maybe those of a different sort of type of relationship, we can't really speak to that. I don't know the dynamics. I imagine that they're not really any different than the dynamic that's, you know, we have, but for the sake of disclosure, I'm sure there are some intricacies that I don't understand and I don't even want to pretend like I can understand or navigate through that. I don't want to speak for anyone, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Right. And when we're talking about, you know, we're comparing our relationship and how we've approached things and figured out what works for us, when we compare that to the traditional, we really are. We're talking about like the Leave It to Beaver 1950s housewife and a working dad situation. But from some perspectives, we do have a traditional relationship for the, you know, from the standpoint that you just mentioned. Yeah.
Yeah.
But we're really just comparing our relationship to that sort of, you know, 1950s stay-at-home mom and a working dad.
Yeah, like the situation. Mom that wears the
apron.
The polka-dotted apron with the lace trim.
Which, you know, the last few weeks since I've been staying home, I've also been trying to work as much as possible during this whole pandemic situation. But I've gotten a little taste of what it's like to be a stay-at-home mom. And I think it was like day two you came home and I was in an apron cooking, making cookies with with our daughter.
Cookies, yeah. It was
St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
Yeah, which for the record, I am terrible at baking. I thought maybe putting the apron on would make me feel like
great.
I, you know.
They were great.
Played
we
the part.
Ate them all.
Yeah, but you don't know. I don't think I told you this, that I forgot to put the eggs in the first time.
You did tell me.
I had to pull them out of the oven and add the eggs.
Yeah,
and put them
whatever.
Back in.
They turned out fine.
Yeah. Oh, I'm still working
you
on that
skill.
You
should have never told me. I would have never known.
True.
But so later on in the episode, we're going to talk about, we'll touch on the whole stay-at-home parent thing. And we'll also, Cindy and I, our favorite sitcom ever is Everybody Loves Raymond. We're going to play a little clip of that later on to sort of illustrate that point a little further. But first, so establishing that, you know, the stereotypical, quote unquote, gender roles of the household, we already went over those antiquated roles. Is there any element of that that you think that you and I inadvertently fall into, or maybe even on purpose?
Well, I think it's evolved as our relationship has grown. I think when we first started living together, which we did for, 6 years before we got married?
We've been together for 13 and a half years, and we've been living together before.
We've been married for almost 5.
Yes.
And we lived together for how many years before we got married?
2009 to 2015, so 6 years.
Yeah, yeah. So we've definitely had a good amount of time where we've cohabitated and had to learn about each other's you know, different ways of doing things and figure out who is good at what.
Smells.
Yeah, those are interesting. But yeah, I think whenever I think about this, I just think about how in the absence of a sort of negotiated or specified agreement about who's going to do what around the house, I think it's sort of natural to default into those traditional roles. And I think that's kind of where we started. And I think since then we've changed things to fit what works best for us and what fits each of our strengths, regardless of those gender roles.
So do you think, though, that is there any aspect of our marriage that you think we still fit into, like a glove, into these stereotypical gender roles? Like, for instance, I don't expect you to do anything because you have a vagina.
Right. I think we don't intentionally do it at all. And I don't think either of us expects the other to do certain things simply because of our gender. But I think without even thinking about it, if it's not discussed, that tends to be the fallback. But it's not intentional. And that's what I think is interesting about it, is that even two people who don't necessarily believe in those traditional gender roles and don't try to operate in that way, I think there are times that it defaults to that. So like, for an example, you mow the lawn.
I love mowing the lawn.
Yeah, you get very, very proud when you get those stripes.
Well, I wear my dad's shoes that you touched on last week, and mm-hmm. Do I have to get new ones? I'm wearing them right now. There's a coffee stain on them. I didn't realize that, but they're not grass stained.
You probably got that coffee stain when you were admiring your lawn from the window after and sipping it. Or was that always, is that a beer? Does it have to be a beer?
No, it can be. It's usually a seltzer.
True. Yeah, but you got the specific stance with the hand on the hips and the dad shoes and staring out at the lawn and admiring your
Listen,
work every time.
If you're wearing Air Monarchs and they're not grass stained.
Yeah, what are you doing?
There's a gender role right there. What kind of a man are you?
There you go.
But yes, yeah. Yes, I love mowing the lawn. It's my... The
you take
lines
pride in it.
Need to be a certain way. I love it when I do diagonals, but they have to be a certain way. And yeah, I think that is my meditative process.
Mm-hmm. Well, so I think that just happens to be something that fits the traditional gender role, but that you also just enjoy doing and that you're pretty good at. Not to say that I wouldn't also be capable of mowing the lawn. I mean, I'm sure I could, but you don't want me to because you like doing it.
Yeah, I would be upset if you did it, not because you're a woman, but because you took that away from me.
Yeah, I guess. But on the other hand, I think that it would be odd from other people. I think we would have family and friends would be like, Adam, what are you doing? You're letting your wife mow the, like, why is your wife mowing the lawn? Get out there. Take care of your yard.
Right. If I was sitting at home doing nothing.
True. Yeah. But I just think that's where the traditional roles come in. Like, yeah. I think there's still that expectation that that is still, even now, how it goes.
Yeah. If I was like debilitated.
Well, obviously. Yeah. If you were like injured or something. Right, right. Yeah.
So let me throw it back at you. And I think this sort of is fair. I don't expect you to cook, you know. Now we're going to talk about fitness next week, but when it comes to meal prepping and stuff, I've sort of taken the ball of making my own food and whatnot in terms of what fits my caloric needs and what fits my sort of macros and that aspect. But I feel like maybe not a direct parallel, but my mowing the lawn is your cooking. Like, I feel like you like to experiment cooking new things, and you like just generally to cook, and you like to take that time to sort of decompress, listen to podcasts, and just kind of zone out and, you know, adventure or explore into that.
Yeah, I do enjoy cooking. I'm a lot better at it than I am at baking, too.
You're a lot better at it than I am, too.
Which is ironic, because you worked in restaurant kitchen for a long time. Yeah, but still. But yeah, I do enjoy cooking. I think sometimes it does get a little bit overwhelming when it's, you know, you include the meal planning and the grocery shopping and making sure you have all the ingredients to make certain dishes, and kind of, it's more of like the preparation and the thought behind it that's exhausting to me. But I do really enjoy the actual aspect of cooking. And like you said, having the opportunity to just throw my headphones on and cook for an hour is enjoyable to me. I think now where we are, with you being on a pretty particular meal plan, and I have my own preferences too. You know, I've tried to get away, try to eat less meat, and then I'm also, you know, preparing things for our daughter. So it's, so I think that situation is a little bit more complicated now, but I think you do the dishes, so I'm happy to cook.
Right. I guess what I'm trying to say is that although you enjoy cooking and I enjoyed mowing the lawn, walking into those two projects, at least me personally, I didn't expect you to be the one to cook. It just happened to fall into there that you started watching cooking shows more, and you actually wanted to explore and navigate through different types of cookbooks and different type of meal plans and whatnot. And so you sort mm-hmm. of expanded into that realm, whereas with the lawn, I guess maybe this is stereotypical, but for me, like, I bought the lawnmower and I bought all these other tools periodically more mm-hmm. and more. I was like, oh, I need to get this. Oh, I need to get this.
Right.
And so, like, the skills sort of sharpened in that way, no pun intended, to like get hedge trimmers and stuff. Oh, I want to see what it looks like if I get the lawn nice and neat on a straight line at the end of the driveway. So, like, the expectation, I think, wasn't for me to do it. I just sort of took the ball and ran with it.
Yeah, I think so. But yeah, it's so when you describe it like that, like, you're off getting all your toys at Home Depot, you know, like getting your yard tools, and I'm over here buying like a stand mixer and cookbooks.
Actually,
and
I bought you that stand mixer.
That's right. Did you?
No, not the stand mixer. No,
I got that for my bridal shower.
I got you the food processor.
Yes. Mm. Yep.
Because you asked for it, by the way.
Yeah. Those are my favorite gifts, the practical ones.
Yeah, I don't want anyone thinking that, you know, for your birthday or something.
No, that's what I want. I love that kind of stuff. Yes. Those are my favorite gifts.
So in that aspect, those are examples, I guess, in which we do fall into the traditional means of gender roles and whatnot. But in terms of not falling into the gender role means, like I said, we sort of approach this, I think, with sort of a blank slate. And as you were touching on before, when we move in together, and this is with any sort of dynamic, whether it's like a college roommate or you're moving in with a best friend or something, or anybody,
right?
Or you move into a new apartment with new people you've never met before. I mean,
have to navigate.
Right.
Yeah.
Your living situation and your dynamics are going to change. Mm-hmm. It's just inevitable. If they don't change, then you're not adjusting. And what are you doing if you're not adjusting? But for me, it was, you know, I grew up, my mom would up until the last couple of years that I lived in the house with my parents, my mom would do the laundry. I started doing the laundry, but I never folded the laundry.
You're horrible at laundry.
So I think when you and I started living together, you realized like, okay, you're washing your own clothes, or you wash all the clothes, but you'll just sort of live out of
the basket,
the laundry basket, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
And so you took control of folding the clothes.
Yes, yes. And but, I also learned how to fold the clothes in such a way. It reminds me of how you talk about your edges on the lawn is how I feel about getting a perfectly folded, fitted sheet.
Yes. But it wasn't that I left him in the laundry basket because I said, well, if Cindy's not doing this, it's not going to get done. It was just like, this is how I've always lived.
You just like don't even think about it.
Right.
It's just the way it is. But that drives me nuts.
Sure.
I can't live out of the basket.
So you took control.
Right.
Of doing that.
And but it just so happens that that is a traditional gender role of the wife is responsible for all the laundry.
Right. So I guess like the flip side, we sort of split up until recently. We sort of split that I would wash my own clothes.
That's the easy part. Dumping them in the washing machine is...
And then remembering to
folding
put them in
and
the
putting dryer. It away. Okay. folding and the putting away is the most annoying part.
I hate it.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes it's similar to for me as the cooking. Like, that's another opportunity where I can either, you know, put a crappy TV show on in the background and just kind of zone out or listen to a podcast or whatever. And it's right. almost like kind of therapeutic to fold laundry sometimes if I just have a half an hour where I shut the bedroom door and just fold laundry.
Well, that happened today. So yeah. Like when we...
And then I feel so much more accomplished and like my life is organized and I can, you know,
yeah.
move on.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm watching the child, which is fine. Like that's sort of splitting it up there. But I guess, you know, in terms of doing things that are not traditional. So like things that I do that are quote unquote female... driven in a traditional
feminine?
Sense. No,
well,
not
even feminine. No,
but like the woman would be expected to do this mm-hmm. in the traditional sense. And
feminine
flipping.
Role is what I meant.
Or, okay, mm-hmm. and yours with the masculine role. Like for me, I do the dishes. And it's mostly because of it's a pet peeve. First of all, we don't have a dishwasher. So it's not like we can rinse off dishes and put them in somewhere so the sink is never full. That's mm-hmm. not the case. The sink is always full.
Yeah.
It's because after lunch... on a weekend or even on a weekday with you, if you make our child something or if you make yourself something or both, or if my mom comes over to watch our child, that's three sort of sets of dishes that we put in the sink and that sort of adds up periodically over the hours. And so when I come home from work, there's a lot of dishes, so I just tackle them. It's just sort of like I took on that role because like there is no rhyme or reason behind it. I just... did it because I hate looking at it.
Well, I think it started with I do the cooking and you do the dishes.
That's exactly how it started.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
Which is a fair trade-off.
Right. And now it's still, and I do the laundry and you're responsible for, like, you always mop.
Yes.
Like, there's certain things that just you always do that I never do and vice versa.
So, I don't know how much of a quote-unquote, like, masculine traditional sense this is, but... you'll take care of all like the doctor's appointments. You'll make the doctor's appointments because I just can't stand talking to people on the phone.
On the phone, yeah.
But you'll take the ball with that. And mostly because at work, I don't really have the opportunity to call people. Yes, I have the opportunity during my lunch break, but I'm an airhead and I forget, being dead honest. But and coupled with the fear of talking to people.
Yeah, but then there was the time that I called to order a pizza and I said, pizza, please.
Yes. Hi, welcome to so-and-so. What can I get for you? Pizza, please. But so in that aspect, yes, you do take... But again, I don't know... This is not to discredit you. I don't know how much of a masculine thing that is anymore.
Yeah, I think that all kind of falls under the general category of like household management, family management type things like making appointments, RSVPing to events and buying gifts for birthday parties, which you're really good at buying gifts. So a lot of times you do that stuff too for our
you'll get
family
them.
And
I'll
friends.
Just tell
kids.
You what to get.
Yeah, you're really good at like thinking of creative right. and, you know, meaningful gifts. But I think, yeah, all that kind of stuff falls under sort of household management, which I think is kind of a traditional housewife thing to do. Like because the housewife is, if you're a stay at home mom, in that traditional 1950s scenario, mm-hmm. you would be the one who's like on top of everything that's going on with the kids. Like,
right.
so you'd be the one to make their appointments and keep track of like, even like I'm thinking when she was really little and we were introducing solids, like I was kind of more on the ball with like what things to introduce when and how to cut up certain foods and like keeping track of what she had already had for the whole allergy tracking thing. So I think that is a little bit of a traditional role, but I also think that might just be part of the whole, you know, I kind of have taken on more of the like cooking and food preparation stuff like we were just talking about.
Yeah, it just couples into that.
And but I enjoyed it. Like I really enjoyed making her baby food and like making popsicles for her and like stuff like that. So
I also think that when it comes to non-human life, so like if there's a bug in the house, and I'm not talking like a fly or a spider, I don't mind dealing with that. But if it's something that I've never really seen before, and it should be noted that in your line of work, you do or have, maybe not so much anymore, but you have worked directly with wildlife.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a wildlife biologist. That's my profession.
Yes. So like that doesn't necessarily include, you know, put it this way, your line of work doesn't demand you to deal with every single type of non-human animal in the world.
Right.
You sort of like segment it throughout your tenure.
Well, I have experience with certain species and certain types of animals and not others.
Yeah. So you've been a little desensitized in terms of that sort of, I don't want to say innate fear, but that sheltered fear that I might have of dealing with creepy crawlies.
Mm-hmm. Like this could be a whole nother episode about like growing up in an urban area or you know, your exposure to nature and all of that. That's a whole nother episode.
Yeah, I'm petrified of bees.
Yeah,
I am petrified. So literally my biggest fear. So if there is a bee in the house, you have to take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is it's like stereotypical male thing to deal with.
Yeah, that's very true. Just like any sort of pest issue that we have. I would never call you to come squish a bug or
So full disclosure, like if we have, we live in a, again, last week I said rural. You don't want us to call it rural, but it's not a city.
No, we're in the suburbs.
Yeah. So like,
we're in a little suburban neighborhood.
You get the occasional house mouse in the basement.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind seeing them alive.
Yeah.
And I never have. To their credit, they're very stealthy, but we have traps. If one of them's dead, I can't stand to look at a dead animal.
Yeah. I mean, I don't like it either, but
I'm not scared of it. It's just, it breaks my heart.
Yeah.
Right. And that, I guess, stereotypically is a very feminine thing.
Right. Like, right. In the stereotypical scenario, traditional scenario we keep referring to, that would be 100% the man's job to come and dispose of any sort of pest or
but
anything.
You have worked with animals and animals that have died and had dispose of them in some way.
Yeah,
are, quote unquote, desensitized to dealing with it. I shouldn't say desensitized. You are more prepared to deal with that than I am.
I guess, yeah. I mean, I'm just more comfortable handling any sort of animal or wildlife or insect or what, like dead or alive, I think.
Right.
You know.
Usually if it doesn't come to bees or anything with a stinger,
mm-hmm.
I'm okay dealing with it. It's mostly that I'm curious as to what it is. Because if there's this, there was that
you think
one time
everything
we saw
is a cockroach.
That, no, but there was that one time that we saw that big bug over there.
Yeah, it was a house cricket.
We're down in my basement. Like it was underneath the baseboards. And I was like, what is that? And we had no idea what it was. And I wasn't scared of it because it was already dead. It was just, what is that?
Right.
Like I've never seen
something.
But
every
like
beetle
that
you think is a cockroach.
Well, yeah.
Because you're terrified of having cockroaches. It's understandable.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just, well, I've worked in the restaurants, so.
Yeah. but what's funny is how we know that we don't fall into the traditional gender roles about this particular issue is the perception from outsiders. Like when we have the exterminator come, if we have to have them come to deal with an issue, it's usually I'm the one who's home to meet them because I have a little bit more of a little bit more flexibility in my work schedule. I can usually make it work. So I'm the one who's here.
Well, full disclosure, I'm hourly, your salary. So like my argument to that is if I leave work, we're losing money. Whereas you have a little bit more flexibility.
I can just take, Well, yeah. Yeah. Anyway. So I'm usually the one who's here to meet with people who have to come to the house and they never take me seriously. Like an exterminator or someone who's here from one of our utility companies, like they talk to me as if like I'm just the messenger to tell you what needs to be done.
Right.
Like they'll say, oh, well, you know, the mice could be getting through. There might be some cracks like in the foundation or by the stairs. Like when your husband gets home, just have him check around, like have him put his fingers under the siding and check to see if I'm like, do I not have hands? Yeah. Like I can go out and do that. You know what I mean? Like, oh, I can put steel wool in a crack in the stairs. Like it's like they just assume that you're going to be the one to take care of any of the pest related things because you're the man of the house. And in our situation, that's just not the case.
Well, okay. So not to defend that, but it is sort of anomalous. Is that a word?
Innocuous?
No. Instead of an anomaly, like you are an anomaly when it comes to the
right. That's what I'm
woman.
Saying. That it's a break from the traditional role, and so that's the expectation from people coming from the outside. They assume that we're going to fall into the traditional role, and in this particular instance, is one
right.
that we don't.
They don't know what you do for a living.
Right. I know, but I guess I take a little bit of offense to that. Just because I'm a woman, they assume that I'm not capable of like setting a mouse trap or putting steel wool in a crack in the foundation.
That brings up an interesting dynamic, because I do think maybe this is me falling into a sexist trap here, but I do think most women our age don't want to deal with that.
Well, I don't think any human being does want to deal with it, but I think you just got to do what you got to do. And if I'm the one who's home and I'm the one who's here meeting with the exterminator, why is it assumed that I'm not capable of like doing whatever needs to be done?
I don't think it has anything to do with whether or not you're capable. You're an able-bodied
human. It's just
the
pattern of what they see.
Yes, I think most women don't want anything to do with that.
Right, well, that's what I'm saying. Like, they're operating under what they've observed and what the traditional roles are.
But those women are still capable. Everybody's
sure.
capable
right,
unless
right.
you have a handicap.
Yeah, I guess. Okay, so maybe capable was the wrong word, but it's
willing?
Just... Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Yeah.
But I feel like that is rare for... And maybe this is me being sexist, but I feel like... So we're in our early 30s. I feel like women our age don't typically want to be the one to tackle that sort of task.
Maybe. I can't speak for other women. I don't know.
I'm saying on average. It would surprise me if most women on average don't mind dealing with rodents, pests, and creepy crawlies.
Maybe. I mean, I'm friends with a lot of other people in my field, so I know plenty of women who
but
are totally cool with
that.
But you're
also friends with a lot of women that aren't in your field
true.
That totally wouldn't want to
right,
do that.
Right, that would be, yeah, fall more into the traditional, under the traditional category, yeah.
Right.
I guess I can see that. I don't know. It's. I know that we're the exception in this particular, this is a very specific example too,
right.
but it's just something I've noticed from, you know, in the 3 years since we moved into our house, every time we've had a contractor or utility person or something like that, that tends to be the assumption. And it's just funny because for us, it's usually the opposite of whatever they think.
We're going to bring up the theoretical aspect later on about our you know, dynamic as parents and raising a girl. But for the sake of argument, now that we're, you know, parsing this out, how important is it to you? You know, so I feel like this is intuitive for us. Like for you, it's sort of intuitive to deal with these quote unquote manly things, like the dealing with the bugs or dealing with the like dead animals or whatnot.
Well, yeah. And again, it's because of a specific thing. It's because of, yeah, that's.
So how important is it for you, for your daughter to sort of follow suit? Like, is that something that you're going to actively teach?
Yes.
Or do you think that's something that it's just you and it's a learned behavior? Because for me, it's important for me that she sees me sweep and
yeah,
mop
absolutely.
And pick shit up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's important that she is aware of and feels confident in her ability to handle really any sort of task or take on whatever role she feels comfortable. You know, like I want her to be able to, when she is eventually in a relationship, be able to take on whatever role makes the most sense for her in that relationship and not just be pigeonholed into only doing the things that are typical because she's a female.
Right.
And if she, maybe she'll love watching you mow the lawn and she'll want to mow the lawn. I think we should 100% teach her to mow the lawn.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she already loves the creepy crawlies
well,
too.
Well, she's going to have to start with the backyard.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. You don't want to mess up those lines in the front.
No.
but yeah, I think it's, I do think that some of it will just happen naturally because she will see our you know, like you said, like leading by example, like she's going to see that you also that you do the dishes and you mop and you do some of those things that would sometimes be considered a more traditional housewife role. And I think that she'll see that I do things like I'm the one to take care of the pest situation. And, you know, I changed the cabin filter in my car. Like, you know, like there are things that I think she'll learn by just seeing us do. But I do think that it helps to be a little bit intentional about making sure she knows that she's perfectly capable of doing anything.
Or not expected to. I think that's what right, my that's true is too. More mm-hmm. my, because I am terrible with my hands. I'm not a handyman by any means. Like I'm just, I was never raised to be that. My dad never really was a handyman either. Like, okay, not to get too much into the personal life of my family growing up, but we weren't rich. But my dad was, I don't want to say lazy. I don't want to speak ill of the dead here, but he just wasn't a handy person. So instead of getting him fixing stuff himself, he would hire someone to fix it.
Well, I think part of that too is, and I don't know, I wasn't there.
I mean, he was working four jobs.
Well, that, I was going to say that both of your parents also worked full-time jobs and raised three kids.
My mom was a nurse, so right. her demand was high.
I think your parents were very, just again, just from knowing, hearing stories and just knowing, what I do know without having been there, I think he probably just prioritized spending time with his kids over taking the time to do whatever job around the house had to be done. And he would rather hire someone and make it work and figure out the finances and be able to not have to worry about it and know that it was being done right and be able to focus his time and attention on his family.
Sure. Right.
I think that's a big piece of it.
And so as a consequence, for lack of a better way to put it, I never really learned how to do anything with my hands. I was never that kind of person.
Whereas
so.
my dad is the DIY king.
Yes.
he can fix anything with, he can, you know, MacGyver anything.
But that, again, that I don't know what his father taught him, but I'm sure, you know, just life experiences led him in that direction. My point is that for our daughter, it's more important for me to show her that, hey, you aren't necessarily expected to do this because you're a girl. Mm-hmm. You're not expected to do anything that doesn't fit with your relationship. Mm-hmm. Just because you are a certain gender doesn't mean this is your job. I'm proof of that. I'm sweeping, I'm mopping, I'm doing the dishes. Your mom's taking care of the dead bugs and the dead animals. Your mom is calling to make the doctor's appointments and she's tackling the steel wool in the doorway when, you know, the asshole exterminator guy leaves. Like, this is important that she sees that there is, I'm not trying to break down gender roles because I do think in a way that they are there, and especially in terms of maternal instincts and paternal roles, I feel. But when it comes to just what you're expected to do in a chore manner, I don't buy it.
It should just be, you know, some...
It's got to get done.
And equal... And just being... Just supporting your partner and supporting your family in whatever way makes the most sense. Taking on the things that are, you know, speak to your strengths and acknowledging when your partner has strengths or skills that you don't have and divvying things up in a way that reflects that.
Let's shift gears. Let's talk about, where do you want to go with this? What do you want to do? You want to talk about what you mentioned? You want to talk about what would happen if we had a boy?
Well, I'm curious to hear your thoughts on that, because I think, you know, in terms of gender roles in our parenting approach so far, we've, you know, we kind of tried to, we have a pretty gender neutral nursery that was intentional, even though we did know the gender about halfway through the pregnancy. And I think part of that...
What did you want to touch on that? The gender reveal?
Oh, yeah. Well, we did have a gender reveal.
We don't have to talk about what we did, but does that have anything to do with?
Well, I think I think there are some, you know, some people who think that if you're trying to approach things from, you know, not enforcing stereotypical gender roles, that having a gender reveal and making a big thing about what gender your baby is contradictory.
You're celebrating knowing the gender.
I know. I'm not saying I think. I'm just acknowledging that that's a thought.
Sure. All right. So anyways, yes, we have warm, neutral colors, and we've had warm, neutral colors for our child.
I think we want it to be okay for whatever. We don't want to have necessarily, you know, boy things and girl things. Like,
we didn't have to because she did it for us.
Right. She's pretty girly so far. I mean, she's not even two yet, but I guess I'm just saying, like, I wanted to make an effort to, if she wants to play with a truck, like, she should have some trucks to play with. Like, I don't think this is uncommon either in our generation and people our age and how they're approaching parenting. I think that's becoming more common. And I think we just didn't want everything to be like sparkly pink princess type things, because...
Well, I still don't.
Yeah, I know, but that might be the direction we're heading. I mean, she has a tendency to really, you know...
Well, that's not up to me. Leaning that way. That's the thing. That's not up to me. That's up to her, what she wants to do. But I don't know. I think, obviously, like, to say that how we would raise our child if she was a boy would be the same is, it's an absolute lie. And I'm not nearly that liberal to say that it would be approached the same, because it's just not true. Like, we would definitely approach it differently. I would approach it differently. Knowing
me. But I think, the basic concept of having, you know, not having boy things and girl things, like having, like, I think we would also want our son to be able to have the opportunity to play with toys that are traditionally girl things, if that's what he want to play with. Like,
but I think
there's no harm in that.
Our daughter wants to play with predominantly girl things just because people have purchased her predominantly girl things. We have not. What have we purchased? We don't buy her. We
haven't purchased her a lot of things in general. I mean, most of the things she has are gifts or hand-me-downs,
but
because
we have
very generous family and friends.
Right. And a lot of those hand-me-downs are from other parents that had girls.
Yeah. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with girly things either.
I'm saying we introduced the girly things and then she latched onto them. Whereas if we had a boy, we probably wouldn't have taken those girly things into the house.
Yeah, probably not.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So that's automatically a subtle difference in how we would raise a boy. We would just not accept those things. And moreover, it probably wouldn't be offered to us.
Right. It probably wouldn't be offered to us.
I would not think to buy a boy at this moment, like a little boy, like a 1 year old boy, a pink racing car. I would get a neutral color, but I wouldn't get pink.
Yeah, probably not.
But like at 1.5, you don't know to do that yet.
Well, we're getting close to that age though.
Sure. But she's 1.5 now.
Well, she's...
She's almost two.
Yeah,
sure. She's almost two.
I know you don't want me to say her age in months.
No, but my point is that I think I would approach things differently. But how I raise the child, I wouldn't really approach it differently. Like, I toss her around all the time.
Oh yeah, and I think I mean, one of the things I was thinking of is that I know that you've said before, you know, we've mentioned that she's in dance classes already, which is basically, at this age, it's called creative movement. It's really just about coordination and balance and rhythm and things like that.
Sure.
And but of course there's some ballet basics foundations in there, and I wonder if you would, if we had a boy, would he be in these dance classes right now?
Probably not. But the thing is that I don't think that's so outrageous. Like, all right, so to give context, like, I'm sure listeners in other parts of the country or other parts of the world, like, this is sort of a hot take or a controversial take that's going to make me sound like an asshole. But here in the Northeast region, in Rhode Island. I do think that that the whole traditional sense of what boys and girls do at a young age are still sort of established. And it's not to say that if a member of the opposite sex went, you know, crossed the line to the other interest, that there would be a huge like controversy around it. I don't think that at all. In other words, like, there is a boy in her dance class and no one gives a shit, but the vast majority of people in that dance class are little girls.
Yeah. But like, why is dance a girl thing?
I'm not saying it is. I'm saying it in the traditional sense of a 1.5 year old child, you would think that most of that of the clientele, for lack of a better word, are going to be little girls. You would just, that's intuitively right or wrong. That's just what you think.
Well, traditionally, ballerinas.
Sure.
Are females.
I'm not saying a little boy couldn't participate and be awesome.
I mean, there are also amazing male. Of course. Ballet dancers.
Of course. But I'm saying to you, like, if you did like this doesn't exist, but a 1.5 year old hockey thing, the vast majority of them would be males.
Sure. But that's my next question is, I feel like it's, I try to understand your take on how quick you are to put your girl into traditionally boy activities, but hesitancy to put your boy into traditionally girl activities.
If,
like, you wouldn't question having her.
If he was interested, I would. If he showed interest, I would.
But how would he show interest if he was never introduced to it?
You would introduce him to it.
But would you?
No,
if it was your
just
choice.
Like, you wouldn't introduce her to wrestling.
Yes, I would. Of course I would.
I would not introduce her to wrestling.
Okay, I would introduce her to as many, I would like to introduce her to as many activities, sports.
I'm saying at 1.5 years old right now.
Well, that's
now.
Not a thing. Introduce at 1.5, there's not a is there wrestling for 1.5 year olds?
No.
I don't think
I'm
it exists.
I'm saying that, like, if.
So a dance is one of the few activities that's available for kids that young.
Right.
Right, but like, I'm saying as she gets older, I want her to experience as many different types of activities and sports as she can, regardless of whether or not within the bounds of where I feel comfortable when it comes to safety, you know, like
sure.
Football and stuff. Like, there's a lot of other considerations, but within the bounds of where we feel comfortable when it comes to safety, I want her to experience and try as many different sports and activities as we can and let her decide what she
available.
Likes.
Like,
yes, that are available.
I don't know. I don't know if this is available to her, but is there like a female lacrosse team? I legit don't know.
Of course there are female lacrosse teams.
Was there with the high school we
I
went to?
I believe so.
I don't think there was.
I think, okay, maybe I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure that exists.
Okay, perfect. But like, there's no female amateur wrestling. Amateur wrestling.
Right. Obviously, we can only put her into the things that are available.
But what if she had an interest in that?
But she, I don't, where would the interest come from?
I don't know.
That's what I mean. I feel like they have to be exposed to it to have an interest in it.
She sees it at high school.
Okay, then we would, if she's interested in something, then we'll look for the, if it's available, if it's not, we'll find the closest thing to it. I mean, that's out of our control. I'm saying within what we can control, within what's available
to
us.
There's nothing that I think that if I had a son, that if he was introduced to it, if he was introduced to dancing by you, which is what would happen because
Wait,
I can't
dance
to save my
life. Why
are
you hesitant to introduce him to everything in the first place?
Because I'm just not, that's just not part of my structure.
Yeah, but you don't know anything about a lot of sports either. Like, there are, like.
I watch three main sports.
Soccer? You never played soccer.
You're
but you
right.
Wouldn't hesitate to put your kid in soccer.
No, I wouldn't hesitate.
Right, so it has nothing to do with your unfamiliarity.
But the thing is, so our child, male or female, would have to discover that on his or her own.
No, but that's what I'm saying is I would like to introduce them to it, even though neither of us are familiar with it.
But I guess I would be hesitant to introduce our child to soccer because I would like to participate.
Yeah, but I think you would learn real fast. If your child is seriously participating or they really catch on and they really like it and they keep up with it, you learn the sport pretty fast.
Right, but let's discuss the
You already know, you know a lot of ballet moves.
Sure, but let's discuss like the growing aspect of this. Like at 2, we plan on getting her like a basketball hoop. So if she sees me watching basketball or she sees me watching baseball, We could even toss football in there. And she sees us tossing around a softball, or she sees us playing basketball in the driveway. That's the thing that she's going to like more and more, because we're going to constantly participate with her in that thing or those two things. I'm not saying those are going to be the exclusive things.
Right. It's just more likely because there's more exposure.
Right. That's not to say that later on she won't get into soccer, mm-hmm. but it's just that she
well,
might
we have to be more intentional about introducing her to it, because it's not something that she's going to see otherwise.
Right. But she might not want to continue doing it, because we'll be like, we're just, at least in my case, I can't do this with you.
But you will. That's what I'm saying.
Like, I will, but I'll be terrible.
You don't have to do much. You just have to understand the game and be able, like, you could even
sure.
but become like, a coach. Like,
I'd like to participate, I guess. My point is that when it comes to these gender roles, when it comes to my son, if my theoretical son here, if you introduce him to dance.
Don't start any rumors.
Just like, so, right. If it came to football with our daughter, I would have to introduce her to football. You wouldn't. You just wouldn't.
But I, what do you mean?
So me introducing.
I wouldn't have to, but I would.
Me introducing our daughter to football is the equivalent of you introducing our theoretical son to dance.
I disagree, because I think I'm just as likely to introduce her to football as I am to introduce him dance.
No, because
I have an affinity for dance. I understand what you're saying about that, but I'm saying you actively would not introduce him
no,
to dance.
I wouldn't avoid it.
No, you would, but you would depend on, you wouldn't do it if it was up to you,
because I know you're good at it.
But like, what if for whatever reason, totally hypothetical, I wasn't available to bring him to dance classes?
The same reason why I bring her,
but
to
dance
class.
I already signed her up and started, so like, you had to go because you already paid
go.
For it.
But
I'm saying,
absolutely
like,
absolutely go.
Okay.
100%.
Just all I had to do was ask you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because at that point he's
but
into
if I
it.
Didn't care, you wouldn't do it.
No, I would. If he was like, I don't want to go.
No. When he's the age that she is now, not
and
old
he
enough.
Was super
to-
excited about going. Yeah.
He probably will be. I mean, that's what I mean. Like, dance class is just fun.
Yeah.
It's music and
no,
it's
no, I don't care about any
social
of that.
And it's
no, that doesn't
so why
bother me.
Well, so where is your, because when we've had these conversations in the past, you've seemed hesitant to introduce your son, hypothetical son, to dance. Where does that come from?
Because I'm not good at it.
You don't
it has
have
nothing
to be,
to do with
but you're not, but you don't have a problem with, you did not hesitate to have your daughter in dance.
Because
even though you're not good at it,
you're good at it,
right? And I'm still good
you,
at it for myself.
I didn't introduce her to dance.
I know that.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
So I would handle it the same way. You would introduce him to dance. You would throw him into it, for lack of a better way to put it, sign him up. And if he liked it, I would go with him.
Okay.
But if later on down the line he was like, fuck this, I don't want to do it again, I'd be like, okay,
okay.
Let's not do it.
I just think, I just feel like you're going to feel way. Weird about it, especially if he's like, if he's into hip hop, I think you'll, and he's good, and I think you'll be like, that's fine. I think if he's like super hardcore ballet, like you're gonna be a little weirded out by that.
I don't think I will.
Oh, I hope I'm not saying that you wouldn't. I this is just, I don't know, my kind of takeaway from some conversations we've had in the past, but I'm not saying you're not an accepting or open-minded person either. I don't
think I'd care. But when it comes to like going back to the room, there was, when I thought we were having a boy, or the aspect when we were talking about how we wanted to decorate when we had a boy, I did want to include some baseball items and some basketball items that weren't included when we found out we had a girl. I just think that's because, first of all, you didn't want those sports items included, period.
Right. I wanted a neutral nursery, period. And you wanted to decorate for a boy.
No, I wanted to hold off decorating until we found out. That's what I wanted to do.
Right. And I, to me, it didn't matter. I could have decorated the nursery at 6 weeks pregnant because it wouldn't have mattered.
Right.
Right. But for you, it mattered. You wanted to decorate it a specific way for a boy.
If we had a boy.
Right. I'm pointing out the difference of how I was very, very neutral.
That's a hot take.
It's not a bad way one way or the other. Yeah. I'm saying I had a vision for the nursery that was completely unrelated to the gender. And you had a vision only for if you were having a boy. And if it was a girl, you kind of just wanted me to take the reins and you didn't really have a preference.
because you had a specific vision that you were set on. So the difference is you wanted a specific theme if we had a girl or in general.
No, yeah, it was either.
And I said if we had a boy, I'd like to have a mix of that theme.
Well, you wanted to incorporate some baseball elements. So now, actually, I never really thought of it until we're having this conversation. Why did you not care about having the baseball elements for a girl's room? Why did
because
you feel
I
so
know
strongly?
She would probably not like baseball.
Well, that's not true. I think she will. She's going to grow up with it. We go to baseball. Well,
there are no
well, we
kids
were supposed
that
to go
really
to a lot
like
this
baseball
year.
Anymore.
Well, it's too boring.
Yeah.
Well, I don't really know what to say about that, but
she loves basketball. She has a shot right now.
She does. When she throws a ball, she throws it with that arc.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
My point is that when it comes to gender roles, when it comes to having a child, I don't necessarily think I say that I'm not super liberal about it, but I just kind of am like, just be you, kiddo. Do what you got to do. And if you want to be a dancer, be a dancer. I don't care. Like, I don't care. But I care. I care if that child is happy, but I'm saying...
Well, that's the bottom line. That's the thing you care about the most.
Right. When I say I don't care, it just means like I'm not going to dissuade you or persuade you one way or the other. Just be. I feel like that's how my parents handled me. I don't know.
Well, so that goes back to the original thing I said at the very beginning of how I feel like we generally don't approach things from the lens of it should be this way because of our genders. Same right. thing. With what you're saying right now, like we're not going to do things based on gender, but our default is still to go back to those traditions.
Maybe
in absence of other, you know, decisions, I think that's the default.
Well, all right. So when it comes to the way we operate in terms of, you know, the gender roles, that was the soundboard in the background, the gender roles we have, honestly, like besides specific things, I feel like we sort of operate neutrally.
Yeah, for the most part. I think there are some particular things, like we talked about, like the lawn and the trash, which are like the manly things that you do,
quote unquote.
Yeah, quote unquote. But otherwise, I think we do divvy up things pretty equally. I mean, I still do all the grocery shopping, but...
Well, I mean, like I said...
You know, especially after when she was first born, that's like a little vacation for a new mom to go to the grocery store by themselves for an hour.
When it comes to... this is what I wanted to talk about. So when it comes to stay-at-home parents, this is going to run a little long, which is fine. When it comes to stay-at-home parents, I feel like there is... This is where people are going to want to stop listening to me and call me an asshole, because I do think, first of all, the majority of traditionally sensed stay-at-home parents are women. Traditionally, it's a stay-at-home mom. That's not to say there aren't stay-at-home dads. There certainly are. I would love to be one. I'm saying in a traditional sense, the husband would work. The wife would stay home. That's clearly not the majority of cases in America or even North America right now.
Or the only options.
Right. But I do feel like in sort of a twist with this. So first of all, we watch a lot of Everybody Loves Raymond. That is by far our favorite television show.
We cut our cake at our wedding to the Everybody Loves Raymond theme song.
So they had an episode. I kind of want to pipe in this audio and we'll talk about it.
Okay. Did you go in there and throw out my fat?
$10 for my coins. I needed that.
You're selfish.
Fat collector.
Oh, you never appreciated me, ever. You never, ever appreciated me. I would work my fingers to the bone all day with the kids, with the cooking and the cleaning and the laundry. And then you'd waltz in with your list of demands and not even a thank you.
That's right.
Deborah understands.
You wanted a thank you? Where was my thank you? I waltzed in, huh? I dragged my ass home every day after 10 hours stuck in a suit, stuck in an office, stuck in a car, and if I needed coins to pay the tolls that got me to that job, that paid for that meat, that made that fat, then I'll dump it out whenever I want, and I don't care what you say!
That's right, you don't care. You have never cared about how hard I worked just to serve you.
Hey, I don't have to care. That's your job.
Okay. So
I was trying not to laugh while you were playing that.
That is the point of contention right there. So give you some background. That was Frank and Marie, the grandparents of the show, and they operate under a traditional, you know, stay at home, mom, dad works. That is super traditional in terms of the aspect we were talking about in the beginning of the show. When it comes to a stay-at-home parent, I don't understand why, male or female now, I'm saying, why that's a hot take. Literally, that is that person's job, to take care of things. Not to serve you, to mm-hmm. take care of things.
To manage the household.
Yes. To cook, to clean, to do all these traditional things, mm-hmm. that is your job.
The
individual.
I think one important clarification is, I think it depends if you have children in the house or not. I think if you have school-aged kids, and I can't...
I mean, eventually you have those.
Right. I'm saying while you have young children that are not in school, you are 100%... You might as well be not in the house. You might as well be away at a full-time job.
Sure.
Because your time is completely... taken up by caring for the children. You don't have time to clean or cook. Like all of, yeah, that's a completely different situation than if your kids are in school.
Yes.
And they're gone for, you know, 5 or 6 hours or whatever it is. That's a little bit different. I still think it's...
No, I don't think it's a little bit different. I think at that point you have the entire day where the children are in school. It is your job to maintain the household because your job is the house X, housewife, house husband, that is your job, quote unquote, not to serve anybody. Your job is to upkeep the house.
Yeah, I still think it's the working spouse's responsibility to not make things any more difficult. Like you said, it's not their job to be served. Like, they should still not, like, leave their crap on the floor. Like,
no.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, you should still take some personal responsibility for not making a mess. Like, basic things. But I see where you're coming from, right? When you are a stay-at-home spouse, partner, whatever, parent, and your kids are not in school.
No, they are in school.
Sorry, yes, and they are in school. Then you should use that time to...
Like, what the fuck are you doing all day? Like, no, seriously, well, what are you doing?
I don't know. I neither of us have this experience, so I would be super interested to hear what it is actually like in reality, because there may be some things that we're not considering because we've never done it. My closest experience is trying to do it right now during this whole pandemic
thing. But you're working.
I'm home with her with a young child, and I'm still trying to maintain some semblance of normalcy with my job. But this is obviously a completely extenuating circumstance.
I don't come home thinking you should
have things
done. Of
course not, right. Well, this is... Even if I wasn't trying to still work, I would just be staying home with a young child, and that would be my job. Like,
no,
you would have very few expectations for the house, rightfully
no,
so.
No, but you would definitely get stuff done just like I would
right, well, like
the
during
hour
her,
to 3 hours she's sleeping.
Exactly. During her nap, I mean, I need some of that time for my sanity to, like, have something to eat and maybe take a shower.
No,
but, like...
That.
I'm also trying to get in as much work as I can right now while she's napping.
I'm talking about those that have, in a non-pandemic situation,
yes,
where the kids are at school.
Right, I wouldn't normally be working at the same time, so I would have that time to tend to the house.
That's my point. Like, at that, what?
It's still not a lot of time.
No, it's not. But like, if you have, so what? Kids going. I went to school at 8:30, got out at 2:30. So what's that, 6 hours? What are you doing for that 6 hours? Like, I'm just saying, like...
Yeah, you're trying to do everything. I mean, it's a lot. It's
okay,
not
no,
it's not to
I'm
minimize
not
it.
You're not
going
to get everything done.
Right, right. It's not to minimize the amount of work it is to manage a household. But when you're also, on the other hand, like, when you have two full-time working parents, like, you still have to do all those things.
Oh, no. Okay, that changes
like outside
the dynamic.
Of work.
That changes the dynamic.
What
we
do
have
mean?
To squeeze a lot of the shit that
That's
we need
I'm
to
saying.
Do on the weekend.
Yes. All of the, like, if one of us was a stay-at-home parent and once she was school-aged, We would still have to do all the things we're doing now while we're both working. But one of us would have kind of like, we would have dedicated hours in the day where right now we're at work, where we would be home and we could actually do those things.
My point in bringing this up, people are probably thinking like, what does this have anything to do with anything? My point in bringing this up is if you were the person that made, like, I guess now in order to live comfortably, like $100K to $150K a year exclusively, and you were like, hey, you don't have to work. Like, in our situation today, if you were like, I make enough that we can, you know, support us both, support our daughter, have extra income, have money to put in the savings, still send her to daycare. That's a big one. Still send her to daycare because our financial situation is actually improved. So we.
But you're saying if only one of us is working?
Yes.
Then why would we send her to daycare?
Just for the social aspect and to continue to learn. Just for the sake of argument. But, and you were like, you don't have to work, but I expect you to get this shit done around the house. I'd be like, absolutely, that is my job
now. I wouldn't have to say that. You would just do it.
But that is my job.
Mm-hmm.
So, but like, why is that? I guess the term job. So like such a, if you said that to me in that situation, you're like, yo, this is your job. I'd be like, yeah, no, totally. And no one would bat an eye. But if the same shit was reversed and I'd be like, okay, this is your job. People would be like, that's fucked up that you said that. Why?
I don't know. I don't have an answer for you. I mean, I think it's about, like I was trying to say before, like, I think it's a respect and an acknowledgement of the fact that it's even if it is a job in and of itself, it's not an easy one.
I'm not saying it is.
Right, but I think that's kind of like the general.
What is the occupation responsibilities? Like if you were to print out a list or write down what
like
you would think.
Like a position description?
Yeah, what is a house ex doing?
Yeah, it would have all those chores on
right,
there. Like
so that is
right.
Your job.
I get it. I just think that there's a general perception that like a stay-at-home parent is, oh, you have the luxury, you just sit home all day and like.
I didn't say that.
No, I'm not. I know you didn't say that. I'm saying I think that sometimes is how that's portrayed as, oh, you're so lucky, you just stay home and do nothing all day, like you just get to be home, like. But that's
no,
true.
No, but like I guess going back, like why is it not okay for me to say that is your job as a housewife? But if you said that to a house husband, it'd be like, yeah, no, totally. It's fine.
I don't see that distinction.
Like, if I said to a housewife, like, she's like, yeah, I'm cooking, I'm cleaning, I'm picking up stuff all day while the kids are at school and my husband's working, I'd be like, yeah, no, that's your job. Like, people would be like, you are so fucking rude. But if
I think
said
it depends
to a house
on your
husband in the same tone, he was like, you know, I was cooking and cleaning and picking up shit all day, I'd be like, well, yeah, that's your job. No one would be like, no, yeah, everyone would be like, no, it's totally his job. You see what I'm saying? Like the standard of insult.
I mean, how many house
none.
Husbands
I don't know any. I don't know any housewives.
Right.
Either.
I don't think like, that's. I don't know
any stay at home moms either. Like I don't. But my point is that there's a perception that if you say to a housewife or a stay at home mom with kids at school, hey, these are your responsibilities. There's a sense of that's fucked up that you're saying.
I think
that.
It's all about context and tone and attitude.
Saying
I don't
in
think
the same
it's,
tone.
Yeah, I think you're oversimplifying it as you usually do.
I don't know.
There's a lot of context there because that's. I think it comes across as being like that's your. I know you're saying job, but it comes off as like that's your whole life, which to some extent it is, but like
at that point it is,
but it's
not your whole life, but like unless you have a hobby or something, but like
but then they're also expected whatever that parent is doing while they're home, they're also expected to do that at night, like when the working partner comes home.
Okay,
and
yes,
all
I'll
weekend
cut it off there. No way. They
what do you mean?
Once both parents are home, responsibilities
that's, but
are split.
From a traditional standpoint it's not like Frank in that clip, he comes home and puts his feet up and Marie puts his dinner in front of him in front of the TV and he gets waited on all night and all weekend. Like he goes to work and then he comes home and then he's
yeah, maybe.
That's what I'm there's a difference there. It depends. If the working partner comes home and is contributing 100% and divvying things up when they're home, that's a different story. I think. Sure. Than sure. if it's really the traditional, the working parent comes home and gets to rest because they've been at work all day and they're tired.
Yeah, I can't get there. But I can't get with that philosophy. I think it should be split.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were disagreeing with me.
No, I can't get with that person should be like, I'm tired. I'm doing nothing. Well,
both of them should be tired because then they've both been at work all day.
I think once the kids go to bed, you have the opportunity to be like, I'm not doing anything anymore.
Right. My whole point is that if you're going to say the stay-at-home parent, that's their job, then they... and
it's their job while they're home.
Right. And I'm saying...
no one else.
When the working parent comes home, they have both been at work all day.
Sure. Yes.
Yes.
I don't disagree with that.
Right. But I'm saying from a traditional viewpoint, that's not always how it's viewed.
Fine. But look, when it comes to... I don't think this is something that we operate on really often. I think that we got it pretty much settled. And look, kind of like last week, if you operate under traditional gender role means, it's totally cool. Like, I don't care. Like, doesn't affect me any. Whatever works for your relationship and for your dynamic, I don't care. Do what you gotta do. It makes no difference to me. There are friends of ours that I feel do sort of operate under these traditional gender role guidelines, whether it's intentional or not. And it certainly works for them for all intents and purposes. And again, that's totally cool. It's just not the way it sort of sorted itself out for us. But, you know, do whatever works for you. I don't care. Especially during a pandemic, man. I don't care what you do. Just make sure it works. That's all. Just be nice to each other.
Yep.
Is that it? Is that all you got?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we went for a little over an hour. We went long. But should be noted that next week, I mentioned at the top of the show that, you know, this week's topic was all sending next week is me. We're going to talk about fitness. We're going to talk about how this is a big part of our lives. It's been a big part of our lives. And Cindy seems to think I can be an asshole when it comes to it. So it's going to be a very fun conversation. So we're going to talk about the importance of fitness and how it's impacted us, how we operate with it in our relationship, and how it pertains to how we're going to raise our child. And a little bit of sociological aspects to it. Might hit home, might get a little personal. But until next week, don't forget to leave those 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts. Appreciate it very much. You can contact us if you have any questions on Twitter at She's Napping Pod. And
while she's napping.
Yes.
That's why that's my part. Leave it to me.
Oh. Where can they email us?
WhileShe'sNapping@gmail.com.
Hit us up. Tell me how much of a jerk I am. And I'll say, okay, I probably am. Until next week. We'll
see you. Stay safe.
Bye.